I want to tell you, this is always an exciting time. I have been working for this for months now, 3 or 4 months. I've been praying about this, working on this, outlining. You hope you picked up a book out there, because this is really a great time in the life of our church. And I want it to be a great time in your life, because I want you to experience God in a new and fresh way. And so for the next 50 days, we're going to have this great time. I'm going to be sharing some messages with you. We're going to encourage you to get in some small groups. And we're going to spend some time transforming our lives. And it's based on this one simple verse here. And it says this: do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me encourage you to get your outline out and follow along. Because I want to tell you, God does not want us to be conformists. All right? I grew up in a generation where we all wanted to be unique. Anybody? You know, that we wanted to be different. We wanted to be set. We know we grew long. Anybody remember long hair? You know, we all have, you know, some of these kids now have the long hair, you know. And we all, you know, dress different. We wanted to be different. Well, see, as Christians and as leaders and as believers of God, we are challenged to be different. We're challenged not to conform to the pattern of this world. As a matter of fact, to be transformed from the world into something different. And that's what I want people to know. What my prayer, I have fun telling everybody, I think the Christian life is awesome. And I want people to know it's fun being a Christian. There's a joy in being a Christian. There's something about life when you walk with God that's different than what the world offers. You know, I'm watching our world right now, and it's a mess in our world right now. I mean, you know, yeah, we got a new president, and everybody's all, yes, no, I don't know what to do with the guy. I'm waiting to see where we're going to go. But I know where I'm going with Jesus Christ. And so how do we get to that pattern? How do we get there? And so what we're going to do as a church, and what I'm going to challenge you to do this morning, and I'm going to lay out for you this morning, is we're going to transform our lives into something special. When God created you, He created you uniquely. You have a unique thing. You have a unique thumbprint, right? Everybody on board with that? You have a unique voice print. You know, we're all unique. We're all and God made us that way. And God wants us to be that way. And He wants to transform us into something that's unique and special. And that's what He wants to do in all of our lives. And so for 7 weeks, we're going to spend some time. This morning is kind of an 8-week one, kind of counting this morning. But we're going to spend some time. I'm going to challenge you. If you want to be transformed, just continue doing what you've always been doing. Just go on your merry little way and enjoy, if you think you're enjoying. But I want to give you something better than that. I had that little phrase that we looked at a few weeks ago, brighter and better. And that's what I want you in the eye. And so I'm going to challenge you, all right? I'm going to challenge you to be in church for 7-8 weeks, counting today. All right? 8 consecutive weeks. Now, for some of you, that might be hard. You know, I don't know if I'm going to make it, all right? Now, I know some of you have plans, and you got trips and vacations, And I understand that, so you can go on those. And here's the idea: there's a little camera setting up there, and you can link in. I'll give you a link, and you can watch Sunday service. Okay? Did you know that? You can watch it live. It's not real clear focus, but you can watch our church on Sunday mornings on the internet. You can watch the worship team sing. You can even watch me if you'd like. You know, and you can enjoy. There's a little link you can click on. And it's just a security camera that we hooked up to the internet. But I'm going to challenge you, because our message is going to cling on and attach to what we're going to ask you to do during the week. I want you to get in a small group. I'm going to share a message on this morning, and then this week, my group will meet Monday, and I have another group that's going to meet Wednesday, and a group that's going to meet Tuesday, and there's a group going to meet today at 3. There's these groups that are going to meet, and you're going to kind of study about what I talked about today. So you know, it's not what Gary talked about, it's what the Bible says, all right? That's what I always get. I want to make sure it's clear here. And so we're going to challenge you to be in a group, and we're going to challenge you to be in church. I'm going to challenge you with this one. Now, this one's going to be kind of a hard one. I want you to discuss in those groups. All right? I want you to have some conversations in those groups and to have some discussions in those groups. I want you to read for 50 days a devotional. All right? Just a short little devotional. One a day. All right? Don't read them all at once and say, I got it. That doesn't work. I want you to read one a day. How many of you brought, I gave you books on the way in. Anybody pick up those books? You need to open that book up to page 14. All right? Open that book up to page 14. That's your first devotional. And you need to write this on the top of page 14, January 29th. All right? That's when you start reading that page, okay? You don't start reading the book today or this week. You start January 29th with the devotionals. This is a bonus week. Can I give you a bonus? This is a bonus week. And so you'll start reading those devotionals on January 29th. And then during the week of the 29th, you'll sit with your home group and you'll go back to page 5 and you'll start the Bible study. They'll have a little video for you and you'll spend some time on that video. See, I want you to watch. I want you to read. I want you to listen. I want you to discuss. You know, if you remember, not last week I told you, you will get 95% of what I say in 3 days. I don't even remember it that long. All right? Yeah. I can remember tidbits. Anybody? Yeah. And so what I want you to do, if you read it, and you write it, and you watch it, and you listen to it, guess what? It kind of starts to sink in. And it kind of starts to take roots. But there's one other thing that happens. You memorize. One of the fun part. You have to memorize. Now, I know I always get pushback here. I just can't remember anything. You know your name? You know your address? You know your email address? Now, you notice I didn't say, do you know your phone number anymore? Because most of us, if you're like me, I don't know my number half the time. It says your phone number. I got to think. Because it's in the phone. I just push a button. Ask me to call my wife. If I do not have my phone, I will not be able to call my wife. 765-432, and I'm not sure about that last number. It's countdown. That's not going to get that far because it counts down. But I'm going to want you to memorize God's Word. As a matter of fact, just to help you out, we're going to practice this morning. Isn't that fun? Don't look so excited. We're going to practice this morning. Now, some of you have been going in these studies before in our spiritual growth campaigns. You know how we do this. We quote the reference. We quote the verse, and we quote the reference, that address, that Roman. We're gonna memorize Romans 12:2 this morning, all right? And so we quote the address, Romans 12:2, then we quote the verse, and then we quote the reference. And if you've been with us in the past, you know I usually mess this up, okay? You know, I can quote that verse to you, but when I try to do it in front of everybody, anybody else have that trouble? Do it by yourself, and you get in front of somebody, and it's anybody else have that trouble? So here we're going to go. So we're going to quote this verse. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and we're going to go Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2, that you may know the perfect, pleasing will of God. All right? Are you guys ready? Okay. Now, I got to hear you. If I don't hear you, we're going to do it again and again and again until I hear you. All right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right. I told you I'd mess it up. I always do that. All right. So you guys got it. So this week, I want you to remember, as a matter of fact, why don't you just take that first part? Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just memorize. Can you memorize that? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. That's your memory verse for this week, okay? So I'm going to challenge you with that. So we're going to have a great time. But this year, there's an added element to our study. And that's kind of made things a little complicated. Because that's why there's an extra lesson. Because we're going to challenge us to set some goals. We're going to look at 7 areas of your life and of my life. We're going to look at our spiritual life. We're going to look at our physical life, our mental life, our emotional life, our relational life, our financial life, our vocational life, our job. We're going to look at these seven areas of our life. And so we're going to be challenged to write seven goals, one a week, in these areas. That's all you got to, you know. So, you know, now you don't have to write one this week, so you get a week off. So next week you're going to do spiritual, I'll peek on spiritual health. You'll do your devotional reading. You will do your devotion. You will do your small group Bible study, and you will write a goal for your spiritual health. And so I'm going to challenge you to do that. And so most of us have never set goals in life. Now I have some goals in my life. All right, my goal is to work at Disneyland. You guys know that, right? That's one of my goals. Now that's my goal. I don't know if that's what God's goal is, so I don't know if that's ever going to happen, and I'm okay with that. All right? I have another goal in life. I have a financial goal in life. I want my house paid for. Anybody on board with that one? Yeah, I want my house paid for. You know, I have a financial goal. You know, we have goals in our life, and so this morning and this week, we're going to just talk about setting some goals. But I want you to make sure, get a picture here. Listen to what it says here. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. He said, I have some possibilities. I have some potential. I have a future. You know, I'm 62 now. I'll tell you this. I'm 62 now. But I want you to know something. The best years of my life are still ahead of me. All right? Now, I don't have all the energy I used to have. Anybody? Yeah. I can't do what I used to do. There's a lot of things that's changed in my life. But I still believe this, that there's some good things still to happen in my life. There's some better things that's going to happen in my life. The best years of my life are still ahead. That's what I see, that there's something out there. There's something more out there. The best is still in the rest of my life. And so I need some goals. You know, I had goals. I wanted to finish school. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to buy a home. I wanted to, and we had these goals. And so I'm going to talk about goals this morning. And this week, you got a short little discussion. You'll go to your home group. They'll put a DVD in there. And you'll watch a little lesson from Rick Warren about setting goals. But I want to make sure you see that goals are something God understands and that God practices. See, when God created this world, guess what? He had a goal. So I start with this statement right here. If you look at your outline, goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. God expects me and He expects you to set some goals in life. All right? It's my spiritual responsibility. When God created this world, He had a goal in mind. When He created the garden, He had a goal in mind. He was creating a wonderful, beautiful place. That goal He had where He could put Adam and Eve in the beautiful garden. He had a goal in mind. When He sent His Son to die on the cross for yours and my sin, He had a goal in mind. God had a goal. God had a goal in your life, in my life. I like this verse. And this is a verse that I've memorized and I really appreciate. For I know the plans I have for you. This is God speaking. God saying, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God's got goals for your future. God's got goals for your hope. There's something in your life. God has some goals. Jesus set goals. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go in this place, this thing. Jesus set goals. Paul describes his goals. This is what Paul says. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already received, arrived at my goal. Why don't you circle that? Not only arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining what is ahead, I press toward the goal. Why don't you circle that again? The goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. If And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make to you clear. See, setting goals is a spiritual responsibility. Spiritual responsibility goals for me. Did you know? When I went through college, went to a Baptist college, went to a Christian school. I had to know the books of the Bible. But you know what? I forgot those books of the Bible. Now, somebody tell me where John. I know John and Mark. But then you get a book like Obadiah, Habakkuk. It sounds like I'm choking. And so, 2 years ago, I made it a goal to memorize the books of the Bible in order. Now, I can do that. Now, don't ask me to do it right now, but I can name the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the Old Testament, New Testament. Having fun with Awana. The kids, my grandson, I heard some of the other kids in here, they got all the way up to Chronicles. They even have a hard time saying that book. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You got to get them in order. That gets confusing. The kids did it. See, that was one of the goals I had for me. Naming the apostles in order. I had a secular goal to name every president in order. And I had to add a new one to it now. Name all the presidents in order. But see, we need to have some goals. It's a spiritual response. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a goal, this is why it's really important spiritually. If you don't have a spiritual goal in you don't have, if you're not spiritually setting goals, somebody is going to run your life for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't have a direction you're going, somebody's going to set your direction. Somebody's going to lead you around. And so you need to have that spiritual responsibility of setting your goals. And it's what God has asked us to do. So what is some goals in your life? The second one I put down here, goals are statements of faith. Goals are statements of faith. See, when you set a goal, you're saying, I believe this is what God wants me to do. At 19, I surrendered to the ministry. I surrendered to God saying, Gary, I want you to be a preacher. My goal was, my pastor goes, I went and visited my pastor. He goes, you want to pastor churches in California? I go, yeah. I didn't think about anything else. I've only been a Christian 2 years. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. He said, well, then you go to colleges in California. You go to school in California. So my goal was to go to California Baptist College. Now it's a university. Spent 3 years in junior college, 2 years there, then go get a math. I had these goals. They're steps of faith. I got married. In June, I know my date, June 12th, 1976. See, I got my date. I got married in June. September, Laura and I packed everything we had in the back of a truck and a U-Haul trailer. Anybody remember doing those things? And drove off to California Baptist College. Moved into an apartment on campus that just experienced a storm and there was 2 inches of water in the bedroom. We had $1,000 in the bank. And we go off to college. No job. No, I had a place to live. And $1,000. Nora and I have moved off to college. Statement of faith, wouldn't you think? What about statements of faith? See, it says, I believe God wants me to do this. And the problem is, well, let me say it this way. No goals, no faith. Little faith. Big goals, what do you think? Big faith? How big's your God? See, I think most of us walk around with a little tiny God we keep in our back pocket. We pull him out when we want him. Anybody in that boat? I think we treat God like a dog on a chain. Here we go. I got my dog with me. Is this God spelled backwards? Come on. So goals is a statement of faith. Look at what it says. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. Now listen to this over in Ephesians. God can do some things. You know. Some things, right? God can do anything. You know. I love the way he said, he can do anything. You know. You know. I think somebody, when we read that, we don't stop. You know, but here's my question. You know, but do you believe it? You know, do you believe your God can do anything? No God, little God, big God. Look at this, he goes on. For more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams, he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Anything you can imagine. I've talked to people about me going to school, about me getting a doctorate degree. You talk to my family, me being a preacher, they would, there's no way Gary's going to be a preacher. Go to school. I was sitting in my teacher's office when I went through my English. I think I've told you guys this in the past. Go through my literature class. My teacher looks me in the eye as I go through the class, and he goes, I think I told you last week, I got a B in his class, a B plus, somewhere in the B range, and they count all that. He goes, I don't know how in the world you got that spelling the way you spell. You know? People can't imagine. I'm going to ask you, how big is your imagination? What's your big dream? What's your big dream? And so I want to challenge you, are you thinking big? Do you have this big dream, this big God? Do you see something God can do? Do you see the hand of God? Look at what it says again in Matthew. Then he touched their eyes. Jesus did this healing, these blind, and he touched their eyes. According to your faith, be it done to you. I'm going to ask, what's your faith like? See, goal setting's about your faith. I believe God wants me to do this. I believe God wants me to do that. We sit in this building. You know how long it took me to get to the place of faith to say, you ever going to tear down the old building and build this? The church was ahead of the pastor on that one. All the guys in the church, we had our prayer meetings, we had these prayer groups going, and it was like, Gary, when are you going to do it? Gary, when are you going to do it? It's like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, because see, here's the thing. Everything this church did, I could always fix. I could always make it work. Tearing a building down and building what? I couldn't fix that. It took a big God and a big faith. See, goals are statements of your faith. I'm going to have to pick this up, guys. I'm going to have to go a little faster. Goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. I told you I am how old now? Anybody remember? 62. I'm an old man. I don't have the energy I had when I was 5 years old, 8 years old. Watch these kids run around. You know, we have some kids that run circles around this church Sunday morning. On and around. And you ever feel like they got all this energy and nothing to do, and we got so much to do and no energy? Anybody ever feel like that? You know? So we need to focus that energy. We need to monitor. We need to be good stewards of that energy that we have. You know, and so we need to be a part of that. It's kind of like the sun. Anybody remember as a kid you had a fine glass? What did you do with a little magnifying glass as a kid? You pile up the leaves, right? Get the leaves in a nice big pile, you know, and you get that magnifying glass out, and you're sitting there trying to get that point, you know. Come on now, don't act so innocent out there. You know, and I went to pick my son Jeremiah up at my dad's house when he stayed up there during the summer. I walk over and there's a big old burn spot in the yard. And I go, Dad, what happened in the yard? My nephew was playing and burnt leaves in my dad's front yard. See, that magnifying glass focuses that power of the sun. That sun warms it up. It's nice. I mean, I want to see some sun today. Anybody else? Let's warm up a little bit. You know. But then you focus it in. You can even get it more focused. Call it a laser, right? You can cut steel with a laser. See, we need to have that kind of focus on our goals and our dreams. See, get this big dream. Get this big God with this big dream. And then you focus that energy and see what God can do. You know, it's what God says. Look at it. So I do not run a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. He's just punching around. But no, he's hitting something. He's moving something. He's found something. He's got his energy. He's investing in something. That's goals. How about this next one? Goals keep me going. Anybody in time get tired of life? Anybody just, now I don't want to die, right? You don't want to die, but you're just tired. Anybody? I'm just tired. I'm fed up. You know? Anybody in a rat race? You know, and you're just tired. Well, a goal keeps you going. It's like, I got to get up and I got to go. It just keeps you moving. Look at, I love Job. If you remember the story of Job, remember all the bad things happened to Job and everything's going wrong in his life. I like this passage. Look what it says. I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. I don't have a goal this morning and get out of bed, except I want to eat, right? Yeah. I just don't want to move. Just pull the blanket over my head and leave me alone. I don't have a goal. You know, there's no reason to get up. Don't you want a day when there's nothing to get up for? Yeah. But see, a goal motivates us to get up. It's, I got to get going. I got to move on. I got to step up. See, a goal keeps... Because I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have setbacks in life. Has anybody had a perfect life and no problems? Anybody? Anybody? I don't see anybody raising their hand that says they've had a life without a problem in the world. We all have setbacks. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all have struggles. We all have failures. We all have faults. We all make mistakes. But you know what? As long as you get up, it's not over. And that's what a goal does. It makes you get up. It makes you move. It keeps you going. See, that's a goal. How about this next one? Goals build my character. Goals build my character. I remember going off to college and seminary. And here's what you got to understand. When you're working towards a goal, and you're working towards that accomplishment, and you're working towards that achievement, it's not only the end that matters, it's the process to the end. When I went through college and seminary, I had professors, and you had to write. Anybody go into school and you had to write papers? Remember those days you had to write papers, and you had to turn these papers in? And I had professors that would come into class. Your paper's due that day. He'd come into class. He'd walk into class. He'd go like this. Gather all these papers that are on his desk up, pick them up, throw them in a briefcase, close his briefcase, lock it up, and then he'd start teaching his lesson. You know? And then it's like, well, I'm 5 minutes late. I'm sorry. Lay it on the desk. I'm a day late. I'm a week late. Lay it on the desk. I've seen papers set on the desk for weeks. And it's like, come on, I'm only 5 minutes late. Teacher went like this. He goes, you're not going to walk in Sunday morning and say, hey, church, I need 5 more minutes of preparation. I'll be back. He says, when it's 11 o'clock, you're ready to go. He says, I'm teaching you more than just writing a paper. I'm teaching you character. You know, some of the process you go through in life is God working on your character as you work on your goals. You get the picture? You know, it's not just the goal at the end. It's that character God's building into your life. You guys know my rule. 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. Right? 5 minutes early is 10 minutes, because you're supposed to be what? 15 minutes early. Now, I got some in my family, if they're 1 minute early, that's early. No, if anything within the 5 minutes, you're late. You know? Character, dude. We need to develop this character. Look at it. I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. I keep going. It's going to build something in my life, that character of Christ. And the last one I put here, good goals will be rewarded. There's two rewards when you set good goals. Goal to finish college. What did I get? Piece of paper that says I finished college. What's it worth? Nothing. It's a piece of paper. But I accomplished something. Right on through. When you accomplish these things, there's something. There is a earthly reward and a heavenly reward with our goals. When you finish school, you get a diploma. When you pay your house off, you get the deed to your house, and it's mine, and nobody can take it away, right? You know, you have these rewards. Look at what it says. If your goals are good, you will be respected. When you set good goals and you work towards good goals, you'll be respected. See, there's an earthly reward. Somebody's going to be looking at you. You're going to have honor. You're going to have a legacy. You're going to be respected. But there's also a heavenly reward. Look at what the scripture says. All athletes practice self-control, strict self-control. They do not win a prize that they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight for the goal with a purpose in every step. An eternal prize, the character of God in heaven, living with Him for eternity in the home He's prepared for me. See, goals make a difference. I'm going to tell you, if you do not set your life, somebody's going to run your life for you. They're going to direct your path. They're going to lead you around. But when you set godly goals, guess who's guiding you? God. God's leading you. God's directing your path. God's showing you the way. It's a God thing. And so you're going to be challenged in these next 7 weeks to set seven goals. You're going to set a spiritual goal. You're going to set a financial goal. You're going to set health goals. You're going to set a physical goal. I'm already working on my physical goal. Trying to lose weight. All right. I already know what my physical goal is going to be. You know? And we're going to set some goals. And so I want to encourage you. And I want you to see this picture here. It's our responsibility. It's a spiritual responsibility. It's a test of my faith, and it's a symbol of my faith. It focuses my energy. It keeps me going. It moves me, and God's going to honor it. It's going to build my character. But I want to wrap up with this 3 points real quick. Not all goals will God reward. Okay? Not all goals are godly. Would you agree with that? So what kind of goals do I need to set that God would honor, that God would bless? What kind of goals? What's the nature of those goals that God will bless in my life? So just three quick questions. As you write your goals, you write these three quick questions down. Will it honor God? Will the goal honor God? I never forgot this. When I walked across the stage, I was getting my doctorate degree. One of the guys in the group came to there. We had just finished. He brought his check with him. And on his checkbook, guess what he already had on his checkbook? Doctor so-and-so. It's like, okay. Honor. Did he get it for you? Was it yours? Your honor? I told you already, I got a credit card that says Dr. Gary L. Du on it. Laura likes that credit card when you make reservations. Just so-and-so, can I get reservations? You know? Play that trump card, you know? But does that goal honor God? Or is it about honoring ourselves? Is it about me? And my wants and my dreams? Or will it bring honor to God? Look at what it says. When you eat or drink, do anything or do anything else, always do it to honor God. I never forgot when I first came as pastor, I had a job. I was trying to earn some money to help my kids go to trips to Washington, D.C. So I went over and I helped Laura's uncle. Now I had my master's degree. I hadn't had my doctorate yet. I had my master's degree. And I'm helping Laura's uncle. And you know what I'm doing? I got a college degree, a postgraduate degree, and I am out there shoveling horse manure. Isn't that fun? Shoveling horse manure with a degree. That degree gave me a whole lot, didn't it? You know? But my goal was, my kids wanted to go to Washington, D.C. with the 8th grade class. Anybody do, you know? And I wanted my kids to go. So I shoveled horse manure. Does that gift honor God? Can I honor God shoveling horse manure? Yes. Did you know that? You can honor God doing anything. Says anything? What is anything? Washing dishes? Vacuuming the carpet? Carrying out the garbage? No. Can we honor God? every job honors God. I always think it's the funniest thing. You know, we talk about all these professional people. I'm going to tell you, there's one group that I would really miss the most. You know, some of these presidents of companies, they could just go away. But you know that garbage man? Really miss him. You know, 2 weeks go by, man, and it's going to be bad. You know, can you honor God being a garbage man? Yes. See, I want us to see this. Does it honor God? Is it going to show that I depend on God? Does it show that I count on God? Does it increase my faith? Does it build my faith? Does it move in me? Second one down here, I put this, is another question. Is it motivated by love? Let me kind of put it in a negative way. If you set goals because of pride, because of envy, because of guilt, because of grudges, because you want to get ahead, you want to be better than so-and-so, is that motivated by love? Is your goal motivated by love? How many people, as we look in our world today and we read in the newspapers or on the internet, people abusing somebody else to get their goal achieved? They lie, they cheat, they manipulate people. See, God doesn't honor goals like that. Is your goal motivated by love? Is it gonna love others more? Are you gonna love God more? You're gonna serve others, serve God more? You know, the loveless, the unlovely. How about the EGRs in your life? You know, those extra grace required people. Are you going to love them more? Is that goal motivated by love? What motivates that love? Look at what it says in Corinthians. I do everything with love. Love. Again, over in Corinthians, let love be your highest goal. See, I want to challenge, is your goal motivated by love? Yes. You know, will this honor God? Is it motivated by love? And the last one I put down here, will it require depending on God? Talked a little bit about this in faith, but I want to come back to this again and encourage you. It says this, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. You set your goal, but only God makes you able to do it. All right, will it depend on God? Yeah, I think a lot of us set goals that we can do without God. Like I said, we did all sorts of things. We put a baptistry in the old church. I could do that. I needed some help, but if something happened, something went wrong, I could make it work. We distributed Bibles to every home in Salida. Knocked on doors, gave Bibles to every home in Salida. You know, if I couldn't get the people to do it, there was no problem because I could get it done. I could make it happen. You know, I could fix it. Now, tear a building down. Yeah, God, I can't fix this. You know, you bulldoze a building down, and you got a pebble there, and now where are we going to meet in church? Now I got to set church up. 15 years setting church up every Saturday. Somebody remember those days? Anybody remember those days? Yeah. You know? I couldn't do that by myself. I couldn't get the poles out of the truck by myself. You know, that container weighed up 200 pounds or something. You know? Does it depend on God? See, I was always secure. Did anybody ever feel, you know, you always think, I got a handle on this? You know, I've got this. I want to tell you, you need a goal that you cannot do without God's help. Does it depend on God? We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able. Wisdom, strength, energy, knowledge, ability. God's the one that gives that to us and makes it happen. So three things, real quick. I need God's Spirit to empower me. I need God's Spirit to empower me. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be your willpower. It's not your strength. It's not your knowledge. Then he told me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord all powerful. You need God. As you ask that question, will I be empowered by the Spirit of God? Second, I need God's Word to guide me. When you set your goals, what does God's Word say? That's why we're going to be in God's Word for 50 days, okay? You're going to be challenged to be in God's Word for 50 days. You know? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you got to do this, then that. That's why we're doing this 40-day study, 50-day study. I want you to be brighter and more beautiful. I want you to prosper. We're building this out of the Word of God. We're developing these principles from God's teachings. It's going to change our lives. And the last one is I need God's people to support me. I went through college. You guys, I've told you the stories. I'm going to tell you something. I could not have done it by myself. I had somebody walking with me called my wife, Laura. Without her, I could not have done it. I'm not talking about, she helped financially. We both worked. But her encouragement, when I went back and got my doctorate, some things happened. It's like I had about a month to go to sign up to get the doctorate, and some things happened. It's like, I just can't do this. It's not the right time. It's not the right situation. It's not the right... Laura's going, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You got to do it. And she pushed me to do what I wanted to do. Anybody ever need that push to do what you want to do? We need that support of others. My family, Laura's family. I can go down the list. You know who helped us move to Riverside? It was Laura's dad's truck, our rental U-Haul. Laura's brother drove the truck. I drove a car. Laura's mom went. Her brother, his wife went. They all helped me move. Anybody move by yourself? Isn't that fun? See, we need that support of others around this. By yourself, you are unprotected. By yourself, you are unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-strand rope isn't easily snapped. Anybody watch football? My Cowboys lost last week. They got this rookie runner, right? Anybody? Got this rookie Ezekiel Elliott? Isn't that his name? Ezekiel? That's how much I know my team, okay? Yeah. But you know what they talk about with Ezekiel Elliott? They talk about the best front line in football. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know those four guys up in the front that block for him, that open the holes that he runs through? You know, if they just stood there and said, okay, go Ezekiel, what's going to happen to poor old Ezekiel? He ain't going to last long, is he? You know, he's going to get rolled over, bumped on. You know, he needs those guys in. He needs that team, doesn't he? You know? Well, we all need a team. We're all running in life. We're running through life. And I'm going to tell you, the problem is you're running around everywhere with no goals, like a rat in a race. Anybody? You're just running from this thing to that, just trying to, all these urgent things. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And you don't have any direction. And I'm telling you, God has a goal and a direction for your life. And we're on that for 50 days. It's a spiritual direction, a physical direction, a mental and emotional direction, a vocational direction. Do you believe God has that direction for your life? And he wants to do that in your life. But you need that support. That's why I'm encouraging. Get in a small group. You know, you're in here and I'm going to pat you on the back. I'm going to encourage you. But you need somebody that's going to sit there and say, hey, how'd you do today? Hey, how'd you do today? I can ask you, how'd you do today? Do I know how you did? There's too many of you. You got to get all group. So I want to challenge you. You know, if you just want to be who you are, then you can forget about all this stuff. Just come next Sunday. I'm here. But if you want to transform, you want to be different. You know, I wish my life was different. It's always the same thing. It's 2017 and things haven't changed in the last 30 years. Some of you are young. It hasn't even changed in the last 6 months. Yeah. Well, change. Transform. And it's not no magical wand. So I'm going to challenge you. In your worship folder, as a matter of fact, there is one of these little papers. Why don't you get that out? It says, my commitment. My, can you believe the pastor to make a commitment? Yes, I am. And I'm not going to be bashful about it, okay? Because you know what? I want better things for you. Hopefully, it's not better things than you want for yourself, okay? I'm serious. I want better things in your life. I want God to bless you. I want God to open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon your life. I want that for everyone in this place right here. Matter of fact, I'll give you a little hint. I want it for everybody in Salida. You want to know the truth? I really do. I want them to know God, to know his blessings. That's my desire. So I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. If you look, I'm not going to read all that to you. It talks about the 50 days. It's going to be fun. It is going to be fun and all of that. But here's what it says. To receive the full benefit of the 50 life-changing days, you will want to practice and participate in each spiritual emphasis. Hear all 7 messages. That starts next week. Read the 50 daily in the book. Join, which means watch and talk on the 50 days Bible study group. And then do it. Set those goals. So I want you to make a commitment. I'm not going to collect these. I'm not going to ask you to give me these. Matter of fact, I gave you your blue book. I gave you the book. I want you to put it in your book. But I want you to make a commitment to transform your life. That 50 days from today, you'll be different. Your life will be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. So I'm going to ask you to sign this. Don't look at me. Look at your paper, okay? Sign it. Date it. Make a commitment. This between you and God. And I want to challenge you. You want a different life? Here's the exciting. The ball's in your court. God has given you the ball. Right now, it's called 50 days of transformation. That ball's in your court. You have it. What are you going to do with it? You want this year to be like every other year in your life? Just keep going. But I want something better for you. And God wants something better for you. But it's going to take you to make the difference. Will you commit to 50 days of transformation? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these who have given you this morning. They've come to worship and experience your presence and been touched by your Spirit. And I pray you have a spiritual encounter this morning, that they have experienced your Spirit in a fresh and new way. But Lord, I also pray that they accept the challenge for a new year and a new life. You know, their heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you sign the paper. Maybe you say the commitment. I pray for you that you'll be able to have the energy, that you'll have the strength to fulfill that commitment. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see them. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want the next 50 days to be different in their lives. Lord, they've given you their heart. Now they're going to give you their ears, their mouth. They're going to give you their effort, their energy, their mind, their job, their time. Lord, I just ask you to honor them as they honor you. As they set this goal to finish the course, to fight the good fight, that you empower them with your Spirit, that you fill them. And what's the joy, Lord, as we read, you never fill anything up, you always overfill. Overfill them with your Spirit. Let it overflow from their hearts and their minds, that others may see you in their midst. Empower them to transform into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.